94, June 22, 2008, Lecture 4.2, Software and Personal Information Management. So by the way, as to schedule, you should have seen on your syllabus, we're doing four lectures today and finishing at 3:15. The syllabus, I hadn't remembered that myself, but the syllabus is always right. So, we'll start this up with an exercise again. And so, page 109, which is on the wrong side, because I wasn't here to check them. And if you do double-sided copying in a big package, there's always a stray page in there that says so drop. But it doesn't matter too much. And sometimes I think optimize things to be left and right. I don't think it matters in the progress of this. So page 109 on the left side, take 7 minutes to write down some features you want to see in a personal information management system. Integrated personal information management. It's calendaring, contacts, notes, whatever is your personal information. I mean, you could have anything that you do personally, having to do with home or work or whatever you want to keep track of, whatever you want to have help with, can be in a PIM, PIM. So just write down some creative features you want to see in such a piece of software. You think out of the box. I guess it's...
Oh, sure. It's a little warm up. It's
let's make a combined brainstorming list. I was just thinking the putting a box on page 109 and then tell you think out of the box. Think outside the box and write in the box. So, what was your thoughts?
Is it being able to synchronize with other information?
Okay.
Includes both your own other versions and other members of your household, your work calendars, school calendars.
Okay, so it's with other people?
And with other versions, other ones that you have on other systems, on your phone, on your work computer versus your home computer.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Both things, both other... other ones that you have access to and other people.
Okay, so with other copies and other devices. And let's assume that you're saying and you use the same program on each device. I actually could be all other programs. I mean, actually what you have on your phone might be different. Okay, then with other people. And with organizational calendars. Or actually, I mean, it could be so this organizational systems could be the school calendar. It could be a collaborative calendar for the university has some system. And you may want to use their system and means to sort of deal with it so you can read this better. I can make sure that I'm staying inside the public. So, I think some people keep their calendar on the university system. And so you have to, now, I don't know how to synchronize, whether they have a download on their own machine or whether they have to be in the web to access a calendar, which I would find a nuisance myself. It could also be that it's just a collaborative manager. Okay? And maybe along with this, we should just could support collaboration. What else?
I said to keep sort of like a bookmark directory. Sometimes I know I have like bookmarks at home, at my home that I might need at work, or at my work that I might need at home.
You should keep track of bookmarks, yes.
As far as like personal information like phone numbers and stuff, being able to categorize and sort it by the type of information, whether it's work-related or personal or and even within that, family versus friends, so that if you're looking for a list of work contacts, you don't have to scroll through or search through everything else.
Grouping.
Yeah, some sort of grouping.
The ability to customize that grouping.
Yeah.
Okay, so we want, I just need to do one. We need a contact list. With customized, I'll call them tags, for grouping and searching. Because you can either use it for grouping or you can use it for searching.
Mm-hmm. For mine, to go along with this concept, was like an automatic way to, like, when you update the information, like a stamp, automatic stamp to show when it was updated, if that makes sense.
Type stamp?
Oh, yeah. So if you update it, because sometimes
you get looking for numbers on your cell phone or email, and you're like, number one, and I know they've moved in the last couple of years. Is this newer or older than that?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Send you an email message or sound a chime or something to let you know when it's your mother-in-law's birthday or meeting tomorrow morning or reminders.
There's alarms, reminders.
And maybe even auto messages. It's like you could write out your birthday greeting for the next 6 months and just have them say, I'll take them off for you.
In different formats. Including email? To yourself?
Calendaring, yeah, I don't know how you use the thing. If it's a BlackBerry, you want it to ring.
Now, the other thing you said was a little different. This is sort of
automated. It should do something else, particularly.
Right.
Like you can pick out an electronic birthday card 3 weeks ahead when it occurs to you. And
yes.
You could be perhaps using it to remind other people to do things. Like you could have it.
Don't forget my birthday.
Well, if you have people who are working for you, you know, on Friday it could automatically say, and your whatever thing you do on your time sheet to do, yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
So it has some automated things that it'll do based on calendar.
And actually, I'm going to say that I'm going to make this for example, because there may be other automatic functions we don't think of. Actually, what would be other automatic functions? If you really think of this as an integrated system, and I hadn't really thought about it integratively, but and if you do electronic banking?
Sure, you can have it pay your bills. But boy, that's dangerous.
Yeah. But it could be regular ones, like if your rent or something like that.
This is a different thing, but part of that, I got valuation thing down at the bottom is security, and we tend to avoid it. But I've done some computer security work, and I don't use internet banking.
Well, all of that is
you
risky.
You don't want that hooked in with your financial data.
Yeah.
It's okay to have it kicking off emails for you, but do you really want to have access to your bank account?
Well,
some people might.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, and if it could do like a, if it didn't have access, if it could send something to someplace else to give that notification, so that it doesn't have access to.
It can send something to your bank that says, pay the phone bill. It's got access. That can be hacked into. Because it can. Well, I don't know. It has. Security becomes a consideration.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking more like just an access to some other, to that type of information.
Yeah.
Through it somehow,
it'd
but
be
I don't
wildly
know.
Wildly useful. It's
a
little scary.
Yeah. I mean, what transpired by that sort of by a chain of association. I don't think those personal information managers usually include financial management, except some of them that are from consultants. They will include billing. And you record your time and for each client, and every month you will send that client the bill, which is a little different from this. But you could integrate. And many people do electronic banking, and it could be integrated in here, and it could be the electronic bill paying could be part of this automatic functions. Okay.
Oh, I was saying you can also do a monthly budgeting instead of next year.
Even if it's not tied to your bank.
Yes, you could still do your monthly budgeting.
So I'm thinking about in terms of like monthly budgeting in terms of customization for like different tracking different aspects of your life, like your personal projects. You might be working on hobbies, different things like this, or.
Okay, so this is to-do lists, tag.
The to-do list as part of it, but I have also like this idea where
take the area of your life so that each to-do.
Yes, you would have like your own like
just like the contacts all customized by, I mean they and some of the tasks might be the same and some of them might be different.
Pictures you like to carry around, or save, or
maybe
files that you like to keep track of.
Okay, I'm going to put that with the bookmark directory.
Sort of customization of how the interface looks, like what you can see and have it be easily manipulable. Did I say that?
I mean, what do you want to see? You want to see the calendar, the contact at the same time. So, what else?
I was thinking that since you've got all your mailing information in there, you want a printout option. You can do all your holiday mailing labels from that, and just say print family and friends address, or or mailing address, for work-related stuff. If you're doing some event at work and you want to advertise, you can just print out.
So you may want to print out the calendar, mailing labels. So if your greeting cards or Christmas cards are all electronic, then you don't need mailing labels.
And then you want.
But you still need a link to the print physical.
Yeah.
Well, this is weird.
The other one I said is some way to easily kind of do an overview editing, like browse through stuff easily, because I find that a lot of the systems require you to go in three steps to get to any information, so I wind up not updating stuff because it takes so much effort to go in and change it and update it, and if you could just do some overview, either like, edit all and just browse through one person at a time, or look at a spreadsheet and...
A sign of that would be really useful is if you could ask it to like browse your calendar and make you a summary of what you did last month or last year or whatever. Because when you're doing like job stuff at the end of the year, you got to tell your employer what did you do for them lately. It would be really nice to get a list of all your meetings. And
whereas the school, when you're working at school, a lot of people require the end of the month reporting or whatever.
So
if you had one of those systems where the teachers can sign up for library time through the task manager thing.
And
so you could include that and your own schedule of what you're doing for library duty stuff.
That would be synchronizing with
other people.
Organizational systems.
Yep.
Yeah, this should have a plural, I guess.
Duplication deletion too for synchronous.
Yeah, duplicate. I'm going to put that duplicate detection. Actually, that in several areas. So this would be the same entry twice. What would be a sort of a somewhat similar problem in a calendar? Particularly if you get calendars from different organizations.
Duplicate time, like a time that it needs to tell you if you're supposed to be in three places at the same time.
Right. So I'll call this double booking detection.
I guess with that it needs to have some way for the calendar. When you're matching up with other people, part of what you want to know is, like, you know, if I integrate my calendar with my partner's, I want to know when he's, you know, if he has to work late, that doesn't necessarily compete with mine. There should be an option to leave that in there that says, Eli work late, and, you know, I have class that night. But that's, you know, they're not necessarily competing, but I want to know both of those things.
That would mean... Then you get more in the collaborative tool, which is sort of beyond our scope here. The personal information manager would just be for one person. I mean, it would get information from other people. So, but I guess you could say this would be and the synchronization. So here you would say include events and tasks, to-dos of other people that you should know about.
So I'm thinking for households too. Parents want to know, you know, my kid has to work tonight from whenever to whenever, so I should expect him home by 8, and if not, then I can start to worry.
Right, so this would be, which is sort of moving into the direction of you just have a combined system for multiple people, which I guess maybe we could put this as a what did I do now? I think I just deleted all the bullets. So we supports multiple people. That would be a big characteristic if you go in that direction. Okay, now let's see, is there anything else? We have a bookmark directory, a media library. If you're a student, what else do you might want to do?
Bibliographic.
Yeah. Manage bibliographic references.
Capability for notes and stuff. Maybe it can also record things. You could record your phone calls
and
your lectures or whatever.
Okay, audio input.
But then it becomes like a whisper. Well, I'm working on this. Everything.
That's Dr. Orstein. Everybody has a. Microphone them all the time. Then you have this huge speech piece, and then you and then you can store as audio file or
convert to text.
Now the converting text is not for lectures, not right there yet. But definitely, note-taking by just speaking, that could be done. I mean, the software you can buy, the Argon Speaking or something like that is good enough to do speech recognition once you have trained it to your voice. But we actually didn't put in the obvious. We didn't put in, where is my list of, manage notes.
I have to work from there to just be
able Now, what do you mean by sticky notes?
Well, then you could have your like formal notes, but you could also have your like sticky note reminders. That just like kind of, I have like a widget on my Mac for sticky notes and have some sticky note reminders. I mean, you could, I guess maybe that's like overdoes the whole to-do thing, but sometimes
need that one important thing that's there
because it stands out on its own.
I mean, a sticky note is really only, it's linking a note to something.
Yeah.
Which actually gets to a more general capability.
I'm going to be able to search all of this stuff.
I think we have searching somewhere, don't we?
I don't know.
I think searching should be in here somewhere. Easy overview, browsing, searching across everything. Now, one aspect we haven't put in there yet, clearly notes can go with events, notes can go with tasks. You may want to go on a trip and you want to schedule, you want to read a book. And that's it, you want the reminder to take it. So there is links from everything to everything that the system should be able to do. If you need to make a phone call, if you have a scheduled phone call to a person, what should that it should give you an alarm for that, and what should that alarm bring up?
Person's name, the contact number, what the call is supposed to be about.
And if it was really good, you could have your phone connected to the computer.
It
would just do the dial. Now I think my contact manager says he can dial, but I don't know quite what the device is that will hook it up to the phone. Unless you use Skype. And I think Skype now has in websites and email messages, I think. Everyone is familiar with Skype. Internet telephone. So it will identify phone numbers on web pages. And you can just click them and make a Skype call to that phone number. Yeah, so there it's easy, but if you wanted to do a real I think I'm in the wrong place here, I've scrolled too far back. If you wanted to make a phone call on a non internet, I mean just on your own phone, you would clearly have to have whatever connection is needed to do that. For the calendar, we could put another things in like input regular events. Now, this is actually not as easy as it sounds because there are many ways of regular. Every week, every month, every 2 weeks, every second Sunday of the month. And so my calendar system, I think they have about 8 of these. And to do the real thing, you would then have to have. Can it do all of these? But anything else that you saw that we don't have up there? I know it's a little hard to say, so you have to sort of remember. In that big type, it doesn't all fit. So there's synchronize other copies, include events inside of other people, support collaboration, directories, I mean, all kinds of management things. And why not then also manage emails? And they are connected with a bunch of things. Actually, what I would like to do, get events from email in the calendar. Now, you can do that in Outlook, I think. They have, but the person has to format the event accordingly. What I wanted to do is, if somebody just guides me informally and says, can we meet on Monday at 4 o'clock? I want the system to figure out that this text refers to a requested event and then go to my calendar and check whether I'm free at that point and then start composing the email and says yes, it's fine after I, of course, for my confirmation. That requires more. I mean, the Outlook thing is just pre-formatted. But a lot of email that comes refers to events that are just described in unformatted language. And so you would need some intelligent language piece to do this. Anything else?
Like, I think this goes without saying, multiple views in calendar.
Uh-huh.
Also, like, easy to use them, being able to see the multiple views.
So you mean you see a calendar by year or by month or by week or?
Yeah, like by day, by week.
Yes,
by
yes,
month,
yes.
By year.
I think we have that as a general piece here somewhere.
And how about like RSS feeds, like having the ability to?
Okay.
Can't do
it. Yeah, no. Ideally, this system would do. Now, the bookmark that I immediately have managed to look up, this is sometimes called a desktop search.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have ideally have a really good capability for desktop search built in. So these are good. Let's look at the. Wait a minute. I thought I had a thing, but what I actually do here is thought I had an outline for the PIM itself, but I guess I have the meta search engine, which is actually a 4.2b is what I want to look at. And not everything we came up with is in here. Some of what we came up with is in here. Okay, so let's read the introduction to that one on page 113. That's your 4.2b. And then you put in the dots so I can leave my. There are a few leftover notes in there. I somehow didn't do what the XXX has to do, or I did do it and left it in. So the general, I think we mostly did the second dot here is important. Lots of user specifiable features. But you can use it without the customization if you want to. I mean, that's the the problem with some of those systems that have many options is that you have to first do a lot of configuration before you can use them. And the idea is it should be usable without. Like the bibliography manager I use, that's not used very much, and I use it because it has a lot of power. And you, in principle, you need to define your own record format. But it comes with a predefined file. So if you just use that, then you can use it out of the box. Then you can amend that, or you can start from scratch, or you can never do. But this is the idea of having power but being usable simply, if that's what you like to do. The personal workflow manager is a little more than a calendar, because it's sort of a project manager. So you know you have these 7 tasks to do to complete by X, and you need to do task 1 before task 5, and that's how long they're likely to take. Those kinds of things. So we didn't quite get into that piece, but it should include a project manager. And if it's collaborative, it needs to have an elaborate project manager. So we got into number 2, handles all kinds of documents. And other information management tasks. So just look through this. Some of them we had and some of them we didn't. Now, we did talk about that these things should have tags, which can be sorted by. A very important piece that's not mentioned in number 2 is automatic indexing and categorization. And I'm trying to remember what there was a piece of software that did not make it on the market, but they were pretty big on that aspect. Maybe not quite good enough yet. I'm using a bookmark manager. I think I have mentioned that. That's now defunct. It doesn't work as Firefox 3. I might have to go back to Firefox 2.2. That extracts a number of tags. I mean, not very intelligently, but usually, I mean, the tags it extracts are useful, and I just have to add a few. For all of the things here, if you have an event with a title in your calendar, it should be able to figure out if it's personal or business related. Or maybe it figures out where you are when you put it in. It should figure out and then give you the record with the tag to confirm. To amend, change, confirm. And that may require some quite sophisticated natural language processing happening behind the scenes. It should keep track of queries. Actually, more generally, it should keep track of all of user history. This Microsoft sort of prototype of stuff I have seen. So you should be able to go to June 6th at 4 o'clock. What happened around this time? I got this phone call, I looked at this file, or you remember, I'm trying to remember this file, you can't really put your handle on it, but you know you had it on when this person called you. You had it open. So you should be able to search for that person, get the phone call, and then say, what else happened at that time? And give all open applications with their with the fire that was opening it. And because people remember those kinds of things, the context, better than, and they remember the content, but they can't put the word on it. And I just email messages. All the things often would be very much easier to find based on these context-based clues. But in order to do it, it needs to have a complete user history. Okay, three addresses, information management problems in this personal information management system. Okay. So I want to keep my own thesaurus, my own categorization scheme. And even if people say, no, I don't really want to do that, they have to, eventually. And so, at the very least, you should keep behind the scenes, keep a list of all the tags. And maybe help the user categorize them. Maybe you can figure out that some tags really have to do with what needs to be done to an item. Do soon, do tomorrow, read, whatever. And so it could put all of these together and give it a pretty good heading for that group. Actions to be done or something. So that and it may even have from outside knowledge synonyms. So that if you assign a new tag that's actually a synonym of one that already exists and can say, do you mean X? This kind of support. So a lot of searching support.
Is there anything like that exists?
No. Because
that would be really useful, yeah?
This is my fantasy of a system I want. The bits and pieces of this exist here and there. It doesn't exist yet quite complete. I gave you a lengthy slideshow on Taylor, and it does some of those things. It's after page. Now, I think I mentioned all the odds and evens are on the wrong side here because there was a straight page and I wasn't here to check it. So after page 118, the Caleb piece starts. So anyway, going back to page 114, I want to be able to search external databases from my own system. So I want to this system to function as what they often call a meta search engine. You know, Stockpile and other such places that search multiple databases. I want this to work from my desktop. And I wanted to search my own database as well as any databases I specify. So for that matter, I wanted to integrate the functions of a program like Bookware. I might have mentioned that searches like 1,000 library catalogs, and then I can select pieces and can put them into my bibliography manager, and I can link it to events. And putting it into my bibliography manager I can do now, because many bibliography managers work with some one or other of these desktop systems, or the library catalog. But they can't link it to events or people. See, if I put in a contact that's actually an author of 5 papers I have in my bibliography, then I want those links. There's a lot more you can do when all this information is linked together than if it is in different applications. So what else is number 4? Oh, another thing to do, actually. Search. You might want to search 5 databases every 2 weeks. Remember you had one of the things you mentioned, schedule things to do? And I said, but I'm just going to give a few examples, and I'm calling them examples, because we will come up with more things to do. So searching regularly and then update is one of the things you want to do. In the decision support software question, I mean, one of you said, and it should regularly search the web to see whether conditions have changed so that we can alert me when I should change my decision. Say I've decided on a price for a product, and part of the input was the price of certain raw materials that goes into making the product. So if the price has risen, I may need to raise the price, and actually I may give up making the product because I couldn't make it at a price that we could sell it. On the other hand, if the price of the raw material has fallen, then I want to consult my demand depending on price curve, and say if I can make it this much cheaper, I can sell twice as many. So let's make it cheaper. No, if I couldn't sell any more if I make it cheaper, then I wouldn't make it cheaper just to increase my profits. But if the decision support software is, does this what they call environmental scanning and gets this information and notifies me, that would be useful, and that would be a regularly scheduled action if it's part of the PIM. Okay. So I would want the internal database to have powerful search features, and that's sort of my basic query language. Is I can do fielded searching and truncation and hierarchically inclusive searching and synonymic dance and all those things. When it sends the query out to external databases that don't have all this power, it will have to strip some of the functionality and send out a function. But what many meta search engines do, they just send out a free text search to everybody, which means because that's the lowest common denominator. So they don't take advantage of any features other systems on the search have. None of them has all the features for my internal database. So none of them has all the features of my query. So again, the simple thing is just do a free text search for everybody, which will not be optimal. What would be optimal is, I know database one that can do truncation, but not hierarchy inclusion, so I leave the truncation in and take the hierarchy inclusion out, and it doesn't do field searching, so I take the field searching out. Database 2 supports field searching, so I leave that in, but it doesn't support truncation, so I have to take truncation out, or that may be a bad example, but anyway, if it doesn't do truncation, you may have to do an OR with different formats, and my system would be intelligent enough do that. But most everybody now does truncation, so that might not be important. Actually, but some of them do not do less truncation. That's Google. Actually, Google, I don't know.
Does it do truncation?
Does it do wild cards?
Wild cards?
I mean, can you say wild cards? So you'd use a star, meaning it can be anything in the character can appear here.
I know it does the truncation, but I don't know about logic.
Does it do truncation when you tell it to, or does it do it automatically?
Automatically.
Okay, you don't know exactly, so you don't really have exactly control what it considers the stems and where it truncates.
It'll look for your exact word first, but then it starts going for variations.
Okay. But so there are systems where you can give, you say it has to start with these five characters,
right,
and then it can have an asterisk usually means whatever many, 21, 0 to 25, or whatever many characters follow. They have a wildcard for a single character can follow. Some of them allow these wildcards to appear inside your string. And some of them allow left truncation, which means they put it in the left, so anything that ends in that. That's a lot more effort in searching, so most systems don't allow that. Okay? So there would be more realistic. If mine internally does left truncation, if a target system doesn't, I may have to search for sensitive or hypersensitive. Where stall sensitive would find both of those without further ado. Okay. All right, document acquisition. There's a long list of things. Because it is not a simple thing. There are 100 different formats of images. There are many different formats of text documents. HTML and PDF and XML encoded, then you have to have the XML template to go with it. So it's quite complex business. Ideally, if I find that this is on a publisher's web page and I have to pay for it, what should the system do automatically?
Someplace where you can purchase it.
Before it does that, it should do something smaller.
Oh, search.
I mean, what I now do manually is I copy the title and put it in quotes and search Google. It should do that automatically for me and say, aha, I did find it. Some bookmark managers check automatically every once in a while whether the web page is still there. And they tell you when it's not there anymore. But what do you want better?
Just
not yet. If the URL is no longer valid, that does not mean that the page is not on the web anymore.
Check to see if it's moved first.
So it's the same trick. You take some long string of words that would seem to be occur no place else and search for it. And more often than not, you will find the new page. Sometimes you find the redirect. A good system would pick up the redirect URL and replace. Now, all of those things are, of course, tricky to do, but none of them are impossible. Okay. Oh, yeah, I want to be able to download a whole website. Which is particularly of interest, say, you now, I think there's wiki books, so there are a bunch of, there are many kind of documents on the web that are largely books, but they are 100 or more web pages that are all accessed to a table of contents. So I often like to have things on paper because sometimes you can look things up faster if you have it on paper. Not always, but sometimes. Or you can you can read them. So I want to print out that whole book. And I don't know of any good program now that does that. Just where I can just say, follow all these links and print it all out. Because the tricky piece of it is that it has to be able to distinguish on each of the pages it gets to a link that goes to a subsection from a link that just goes someplace else. Can you think of some simple heuristic that would do that?
Usually it has subsections can have the same first part of the URL. So if it
So if it has the URL of the present page plus something added, it's likely a subsection. If it goes someplace else altogether, it's not. Another example of this document processing would be extracting citations from a document and put them into my bibliographic database with the citation link maintained. And I think a lot of that is described under 6. Let's have a look at on 6. So finding duplicates we mentioned, but it was easy if it's just your own domain. If you are handling managing documents, it's getting tricky. Of course, I wanted to be able to do annotations. That's the sticky notes. And I want to be able to annotate the annotations if I want to. And I want to be able to annotate the assignment of a term when I say why. So if I say this is a good reading for 670, I want to make an annotation that is on that particular assignment of a tag, not just on the document as a whole. I want to say, okay, it's a reading for 670 because. So what else do we do? Displays, all kinds of displays. So let's just look at 8, which is also not trivial. So sending email with attachments, and they're all things, I mean, I think even my file manager, which is separate from my bookmark manager, which is annoying, it's a new one, but it has a function that says email this file to somebody. But if I email a document, it should actually be more intelligent than that. Because I may have annotations of this document. And I may want to send it with annotations or without annotations. The annotations may be part of the file, or they may not be part of the file. If they are part of the file, they would be sent. And I said, oh, I didn't want to send this. Because it may, I mean, I may have made some annotation that said this document is really bad, and I sent it to a friend of the author. I wouldn't want the annotation to go. And if it's part of the file, I may forget. On the other hand, if it's not part of the file, and I want it to go, I will also forget. It's a problem that now happens, I think reasonably frequently, is in metadata that are in Word or Word Perfect documents. Remember that both of these word processors have a about the document section. And they're all put, who would use it into automatically?
Mm-hmm.
And several times happened to me when they do allegedly blind reviewings. And so they remove the author from the Word document and from the display. But they forget to think about the metadata about the document. And so if you go into Word and you go to this place where you see the record, there's the author. They didn't have this function, the second dot under 8, that when it sends a Word document, it asks, do you want to include the metadata? And the default would really be to send it without the metadata.
Well, when you get stuff like you get a form to fill out and it comes, you know, you submit it and it says that the person who created it is the original creator of the form, then really it would be much more useful to have the person who filled out the information be now listed as. Or if there's some sort of update, like with teachers, you email somebody a form and you change it for your class, send it out to somebody else, and, you know, they get. You send it to another teacher, and when they go to try to figure out who they got it from, it says some teacher that hasn't been there in 5 years. When if it had some sort of, if it, you know, asked about the annotation, you might think about updating that before you send it on to the next teacher,
right,
who would know, you know, if they're confused about something, they saved it, and a year later they look at it and go, oh, I wonder what was meant by this. This looks really useful, but I don't understand this one part of it.
Right.
They'd know what other person to go ask.
Yes.
For some clarification or extra supplies to use with it or whatever.
So this was, again, an example of looking at features. And it's not all personal information management does. This was focused on the kinds of documents of all kinds it keeps. And so, right now, if you want to do a search, most of the time you have to use your email separately, your bookmark separately, your file separately, external web searches separately, and the idea would be indicated all. Then it should also be indicated with the calendar, the contact, and I gave some examples of links. This could be elaborated further. And if it's really good, it's indicated with document production. So you can actually draw on all these things and include reference in the document easily and so forth. Now, the integration from Bibliographic Manager to document production, that's pretty well done in many systems, so that you can just have a note. You can link the reference into your document and it will include it, and some of them will even say EBDEM, and which is all nonsense tonight, as I concerned. You usually don't, well, sometimes hard to say what the previous citation, the first one, that is very unique. So ideally it would all be integrated. That would be nice. Okay, in this part, so what else, I'm just telling you what else is here. There's this Kalo, which they try an intelligent personal assistant. It does a lot of the things that I described, but it's so. The prototype is so slow that it's impractical. There are also sample lists of features, software in the home, starting on page 119, and there is software and public library service, and there's a long list of software and library operations, which I really took from somewhere and augmented some, and it may not be complete. So they are just by sort of a way of example. Now, why is software in the home again in here? I think the very last, page 141 in I went too far, because starting page 133, this is over and we come to the final review. Right, and the final review consists of questions we're going to discuss and your questions, and that's the first part, and then the rest of it is just sort of a outline to jog your memory of what kind of things we did.
So what we've been doing today is coming up with what I mean, really, it's not so much evaluation criteria. We've just been coming up with content, you know, what we think different things might have in them. So I guess that feeds into evaluation.
Oh, that will be evaluation criteria in the sense that does the software do this or not?
So we're doing this because in this class and presumably on the final, we might have things where we're looking at a particular kind of software and trying to figure out what we think it might want to do so that we could evaluate it based on this.
You should be able to evaluate any kind of software.
But this is really just coming out of our heads, and it's like it may or may not have any. It's like you have to do an industry search and learn something.
I mean, what the piece I just told didn't just come out of my head. This came out of looking at different kinds of software and the features.
The video was just coming, yes.
But it's sort of illustrative. It's not complete. It's only illustrative of the kind of list you need to come up with. I mean, you do it for your own.
So this is the process you want us to go through when we're thinking about how we evaluate a certain group of software.
Yes. I also want you to have some examples of feature lists.
Some general knowledge of what should be in certain kinds of software.
Yes, I cannot do all, obviously.
And we can't remember all.
You couldn't remember all of this, but it still leaves some trace in your head about what it looks like. See, expert knowledge is not just principles. A lot of it is just having examples in the head accessible, and sometimes having direct knowledge that can be directly applied, or examples. So if you have seen this feature list, and if you have gone through this brainstorming process to get at version minus one, not even version zero, version minus one, which then has to be augmented, if you are confronted now in real life with something else altogether, you still, I think, are better equipped to handle something else altogether from the examples we looked at than if you didn't have any example in such generic principles. So that was the idea of this morning. In this afternoon we're just doing a generic review. And then I'm just going to hand you back the midterm, which was yeah, I'm watching. Generally, case was with A minus, B plus, and in the final, I think many of you will do better. Okay, so and we will resume at 12:30. End of this lecture.